Your film is now ready to be shown.
Good morning. I'm Justin Hendricks, editor of Tech Policy Press, a nonprofit media venture intended to provoke new ideas, debate, and discussion at the intersection of technology and democracy. It's Monday, September 9th, 2024. Today, Judge Leone Brinkema of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Virginia is presiding over the start of a trial in which the United States Department of Justice accuses Google of violating antitrust law, abusing its power in the market for online advertising. Naturally, Google contests the government's allegations. In a blog post published yesterday, Google's Vice President for Regulatory Affairs, Leanne Mulholland, wrote the following, quote, "In court, we will show that ad buyers and sellers have many options, and when they choose Google, they do so because our ad tech is simple, affordable, and effective. In short, it works. Ad tech helps people who want to sell something find someone who wants to buy it. It helps online publishers, content creators, and bloggers make money, and businesses find new customers, which in turn keeps the internet free and open to use for all of us. By picking winners and losers in a highly competitive industry, the DOJ risks making it more expensive for small businesses to grow and for websites and apps to make money. Let's not break what's working." Unquote. Mulholland goes on to lay out the key points Google's lawyers will make in its defense. To get a bit more detail on what to expect, I spoke to two individuals covering the case closely who take a critical view of Google, the government's allegations about its power in the online advertising market, and the company's effect on journalism and the overall media and information ecosystem.
I'm Sarah Wiley. I'm the Director of Policy at Check My Ads.
I am Karina Montoya. I am a senior reporter and policy analyst at the Center for Journalism and Liberty, which is a program of the Open Markets Institute.
I'm grateful for the two of you joining me today to hopefully give us a little bit of a preview of a topic that I know will be in the news and certainly in the inboxes of many a Tech Policy Press podcast listener over the next few weeks and months, which is the beginning of this antitrust trial, another one against Google. And I suppose if we're distinguishing now, we just wrapped up the quote unquote search trial. Now we're about to start the ad tech trial. Karina, you've covered this for Tech Policy Press and you've been watching what's going on. What is this trial about?
So this trial is really essentially, and without going into any technicalities yet, about whether the interests of the publishers and advertisers are really adequately represented by the companies who intermediate the buying and the selling of advertising on the open web. And so what that essentially means is news publishers, maybe businesses who also want to host advertising on their websites, blogs, and essentially anyone who has an interest in connecting with a pool of advertisers that want to reach certain audiences on the web. So we are not talking about, in this case, about search, because there are also ads on search. That was something that was covered in the first trial that we saw in Washington, D.C., as you mentioned. We're not talking about social media. This is about a market where we have a slew of intermediaries, which are different companies that represent advertisers on one side, that represent publishers on the other side, and then there is a marketplace where they come together. And the platform that essentially has visibility over these two sides and also the marketplace where they meet, and there is a series of bids that advertisers make to essentially have a spot or a slot in a website to display an ad. The company that sees it all is Google. And so we are going to see whether Google has been really representing those interests. And there is a list of anti-competitive conduct that the DOJ will show during the trial that essentially says they have been abusing that dominance over those two sides of the market to pocket money that should have gone to publishers in the first place.
So we've got another case here, not unlike the search case in one way, which is Google essentially using its scale, using its heft to essentially set the market to operate in its interests. Sarah, what could this mean for the ad tech industry?
It's important to understand that advertising is the business model for the internet. It's why we have publishers. It's why we have all the content that we have online is basically through an advertising business model. How advertising is sold on the open web. So as Karina mentioned earlier, we're not talking here about social media or walled gardens like Instagram and TikTok. We're talking about open web, here being the media ecosystem that relies on third-party ad tech tools to sell their display advertising that exists outside of social media walled gardens. So generally speaking, advertising on the open web is bought and sold through a type of auction system. Advertisers use ad networks to automate and optimize the purchase of ad space. This is known as the buy side. Publishers use ad servers to catalog and place their ad space or inventory for sale. This is known as the sell side. And then we have in the middle, ad exchanges that work to match publishers' inventory, their space that they want to sell, to advertisers. And that happens with a real-time auction that happens in like split second as you're loading a web page. The ad exchange works by collecting advertiser bids for publisher space / their inventory. So ad exchange goes, hey, we have this space available. Advertisers, please submit your bids for this space. And then bam, it matches it together. What this case could mean for advertisers and the media industry together is currently we have a really broken system. We have two newspapers that close every week in this country, and they're mostly local publishers. They are the source of the most trusted news in communities. And one reason is because of ad tech companies like Google inserting themselves between the publisher and the advertiser and taking a huge take rate, depriving journalism of ad revenue. On the other side, we have advertisers and the ad industry who are not able to see where their ads end up. They're not able to understand or track their supply path. So when an advertiser goes and buys ad space, they're not able to completely understand where all of that data is going, for one, two, where their spend is going. And what we've seen from this case and from the search case also is that Google takes a huge, what's called like a take rate. They take a huge cut from advertisers as well as publishers to enrich themselves. So they're really screwing over both sides here to entrench their dominance and then also enrich themselves on top of that.
You mentioned the impact on journalism, but are there other reasons that we should care about this case beyond the kind of just basic principles of wanting there perhaps to be more competitive markets or a fairer ecosystem when it comes to splitting up the advertising revenue pie?
One of the things that I find that's so heartbreaking about this case is the advertisers that have really gotten screwed the most are the small mom and pop advertisers. The larger advertisers are more sophisticated. So the huge brands that are out there that use media buying agencies, they tend to use a DSP, a display service partner. You don't need to know that term at all, but basically it is a more complex tool that they are able to use to navigate through the auction system. Smaller advertisers, like your typical mom and pop big store that, say your hardware store on your main street, which I know doesn't really exist much anymore either, but in Bozeman, Montana, where I'm located, we actually still have that. And say those people are the ones that are using this sort of tool that are easy to use. They don't need to have a lot of in-depth knowledge about how to place ads online. And that is the tool that's really being discussed here on the advertiser side. So those people have lost maybe quite a bit of money through placing an ad that wasn't correctly matched. Maybe it went to waste, it didn't show up in the right place, it wasn't really relevant where it ended up, and your ad spend is wasted. And for those smaller advertisers, that means a lot to them. That means a lot to your business, and that can make or break a business.
Going back to your question as why we should care about this case, not only on the advertiser side, as Sarah mentioned, we have big advertisers, we have small advertisers. They're all trying to get a message out there. And they are going into this market under the belief that what they are paying for is something that is worth investing in. And so the promise of that system really is that they are reaching quality publications, that they are reaching the users that they supposedly want to reach. And so that is why there is this whole auction system, because there is a plethora of ad inventory. So that essentially means ad spaces across the web. And so then you have this ad tech platforms that will read that information, and not in the sense of humans reading the information, but more so of like categorizing that ad inventory and match it to what supposedly is who the advertiser wants to reach, right? On the publisher side, really what DOJ is expected to show is that inside this system of auctions, because Google is a partner or a provider of this technology that has visibility on the publisher's side and also on the perceptions and the preferences of advertisers, but also it runs an ad exchange. Let's imagine it's like the stock exchange, right? So they do have an interest in having the largest quantity of advertisers that they can to match with the largest quantity of publishers that they can, right? And what happens inside those auctions really determines the value of ad inventory for news publishers. And so the case really for me is, and especially for journalists and news publishers, is to understand whether that inventory was priced in a way that represented the value of the content and the audiences that the advertisers were trying to reach. And also, if those auctions and the way the platforms were deciding what is what allowed for publishers to also partner with rivals of Google and not be punished by that. In this case, really for news publishers, what the DOJ is going to argue is that there has been a number of price manipulation schemes, if we can call them that way, that essentially punished news publishers that were using ad tech providers that were rivals of Google. Because the intention of Google, according to the lawsuit, is to entrench its monopoly power over the two sides of this market so that it can play around with the margins that it's making from the publisher side, for the advertiser side. So in the end, it is not representing neither party adequately, and it's taking that money that either it's overcharging advertisers and underpaying publishers to its own pockets. So in terms of how the journalism industry understands the root of its financial crisis, I think this case is really pivotal to understand that past history and also to try to envision how we want things to change from there.
One of the things that really stood out to me in this case is just how much data Google was able to collect. When you own all three sides of an auction, which I don't know what you think about auctions, but how I understand auctions is that the auctioneer doesn't get to have access to everyone's limits, their floor price or their ceiling price, right? They're not able to have access to everyone's data, essentially. And they are the ones who are setting the price in the end and getting the biggest cut. That's not how we think auctions work in everyday life. So the biggest thing that stood out to me about this case was just how much data Google was able to collect, and then how they use that data to manipulate the advertising auction prices through various ways. And there's various ways. They had several different projects and ways to do this. But really what all of the different ways come down to is that Google was able to use this massive amount of data and insight that they had into how much publishers were willing to sell ad space for and how much advertisers were willing to spend to buy that ad space, so that they could then manipulate the auction itself for their products to be the ones that were used, so that they could then take the winning bid and pay themselves on the back end. And I think one huge astounding stat to me is that Google keeps approximately $36 out of every $100 that passes through their system. So 36%, if you just want to put it in a percentage basis. That means that publishers get $64 out of every $100 that passes through Google's ad tech system. That should just infuriate every publisher out there, but it should also infuriate every person, really, that cares about fair markets, that cares about how business is done. And really, essentially, if you're going to talk about the news industry dying, which unfortunately it is, as I mentioned earlier, we have two newspapers that close every week in this country, and they're mostly local publishers. This case really matters to everybody here.
I think one of the interesting things about this case, and just following the litigation and the arguments that the Department of Justice has made, is it's an incredible education, not only in how ad tech works and, of course, how Google and its role in ad tech works, but it's also just a history of the growth of this industry and the consolidation and all the mergers and all the different pieces getting put together to put Google into this situation.
There's the scope issue, but there's also what you talked about, is that this has been going on for so long. So the narrative of this case starts out by showing how Google, back in 2009, bought the largest ad server, which is then DoubleClick. And in buying that, they also got an ad exchange. So they got the middle and they got the largest ad side as well. And then what they did after that is they started requiring both sides of the auction, so publishers and advertisers, to then use that exchange so that they could amass so much data and see the transactions that were occurring across the system. And then they then use that data to basically entrench their market power. So this has really been going on since 2009. The other thing in terms of like scope and scale that I think is really interesting about this case is that the DOJ is bringing three separate monopolization claims here about three distinct products and markets. So their first argument is that Google monopolized the advertiser ad networks. Their second claim is that Google monopolized the publisher side, so the publisher ad servers. And then their third is that Google monopolized ad exchanges, the middle part, for open web display, or at least attempted to monopolize ad exchanges. And then the fourth claims that Google acted wrongly with tying all of these things together. Now, I just want to highlight that if you take into account the search case, which found that Google was a monopoly in search and also a monopoly in text-based search advertising, we are talking about five different overlapping monopolies in differentiating product markets. That's insane. We're not just talking about like one giant monopoly. We're talking about five different overlapping monopolies: search, text-based search advertising, publisher ad servers, advertiser ad networks, and ad exchanges. To me, this shows just how large Google has become and how they've been able to just really entrench themselves in as the operating system of the internet. This case gets compared a lot to the Microsoft case, which was the last large tech antitrust case. In that case, Microsoft was accused of monopolizing just two distinct markets, so the PC operating system market and the browser market. Here, we're talking about five.
Enormous amount of detail that will play out in this trial. Karina, you've been covering this for us and also sharing the ins and outs of the decision to get to this point. At one point, it looked like there might be an actual jury, as I understand it, and we ended up not with that situation. But are there features of the trial as you understand it? What will actually transpire that you think that the listeners should know about? What do we actually expect to happen? How long will it take? What witnesses will be called? That kind of thing. What can you say about the kind of mechanics of the trial?
The trial is supposed to last between 4 to 6 weeks. We are going to have many witnesses taking the stand. They are going to be representing different publishers, different ad tech providers that are Google's rivals. On the buy side, on the sell side, also in the middle part, as Sarah said, the ad exchanges. So I would say I'll be watching out for three things. One is, how is it that the DOJ is going to build the case that Google's acquisitions of different rivals were done with the intention to monopolize this market? Right. Because according to U.S. antitrust law, the intention to monopolize is illegal. So they're going to have to thread that very carefully. And so we'll see how the different witnesses support that argument. They are also bringing external experts that are focusing specifically on explaining what the auctions are about. What are the incentives? When auctions like this happen, how they can be manipulated, what are the conditions that make this system prone to manipulation? That will be very important. And I would say the second thing is also on the side of news publishers, just the different ways that publishers throughout, like Sarah said, since 2009, have tried to come up with the different ad tech platforms with different ways of essentially sell advertising within the system that try to bypass Google. But because Google has so much visibility across all the three layers of this market, so it was also able to diminish or to weaken those initiatives and essentially just rendering them not commercially viable. So that's the second thing that I'll be paying attention to in terms of how the witnesses are going to make their case that Google's conduct has hurt competition within this market. And consequentially, it has also hurt them, the publishers, as a viable business. Number three, I think this is going to be the first time that advertisers and publishers will be able to sit down and open this black box that the ad tech programmatic system has become, right? And there are a lot of studies showing that because of the lack of transparency and the opacity of how these auctions work, as Sarah described, publishers don't really know where the money is going. There's a very interesting anecdote that's gone under the radar in the past, I would say, 3 years. There used to be a partnership between PricewaterhouseCoopers, the Interactive Advertising Bureau, and Google to try to understand where the money is going when you are investing $100 in the programmatic open market. And it goes through these ad tech platforms, and then it's supposed to end in a number of publishers. And so that's called attribution. And I think it was about a third of that investment or that ad spend that couldn't just be attributed to anything. So essentially no one knows what happened with that money. And that report, that study, used to be performed in collaboration with Google. But then the more the studies, because it was a study that came out a couple of times, the more it started showing that it was very difficult to track the chain of payments in the system, Google just dropped that collaboration. So I'm sharing this anecdote so that you can see, even outside of the legality of matters, when it comes to adding transparency to this market, despite the fact that Google is a company that has so much visibility into what's happening in these auctions, it's still very hard to get access to it, even for companies like PricewaterhouseCoopers.
What can we expect in this 4 to 6 week period? Will journalists be allowed to sit in on the trial? Will we get information day to day, or will we have to rely on other reporting?
So unfortunately, the court is not going to allow any sort of a streaming or audio connection to what's going to transpire within in the trial. We do have media accreditation. Exhibits will be posted at a more timely, in a more timely way compared to the search case. Unlike the search case, where there was a lot of back and forth about what exhibits should be made public and which exhibits shouldn't. And I think we all remember, for anyone that covered the search case, the New York Times, Bloomberg, and other publishers had to essentially, start like a special proceeding to get that solved. So that is not going to happen, or at least the expectation is that it will not happen in this trial, because Judge Brinkema has been very explicit that she does not want to have the same problems that Judge Mehta had with this publication of exhibits. So everything that is admitted as exhibit should be posted, I think, the following day when after it's been admitted to the public record. So we will have access online to those pieces of information. Unfortunately, it's very hard to make. You need to have the context of what's happening in the trial also to put those exhibits in context, right, and be able to report that accurately. So there's been improvement compared to the search trial. Still, it's not enough. On my part, at the Center for Journalism and Liberty, we will be publishing weekly updates. We will have a special newsletter for that. And we are licensing our content so that any other publication can also reproduce it with attribution. So we'll give it out for free. And we are going to focus on the impact that this trial will have on the news publishing industry.
Sarah, I might ask you, what does the DOJ want to happen? Do we know anything about the remedies that the government is seeking yet?
Winning the case will be half the battle, right? So there's still going to be the question of what comes after. What we're really looking at for here is a structural breakup. So what parts does Google have to spin off and sell off? I think that there is still an open question about what would make a good remedy in this case. I'm very skeptical of Google saying, oh, you know what, we're going to sell off our supply, our advertiser side, and not spin off the publisher or the ad exchange side, or we're just going to get rid of one of these pieces. That doesn't really solve the problem. What the solution really has to be is forward looking and not backward looking. What I mean by that is we have to think about how they are able to collect so much data. One part that we would like to see is have them divest Chrome and then definitely break up their ad tech stack as well. You asked Karina an interesting question, which is like what we're looking for or what we're paying attention to in the trial. And to me, there's what's happening in the trial and then there's what's happening in the court of public opinion. And we've seen Google try to spin this case that it doesn't really matter. We've seen them say things like, the ad tech industry changes so much, and it's changing so fast, and we now have to compete with social media, and we have to compete in the areas of AI and connected TV, and really, like, this case doesn't really matter anymore, which is absolutely insane, because what this case to me is really about is that data piece. And if they are still able to collect data about transactions, there's some crazy stat, I can't remember it, I'll send it to you after, Justin. But there's some crazy stat out there that Google sees something like 90% of the transactions that take place online. It's absolutely wild when you think about the main thing that you need to build an AI system is data. How are they going to be able to continue to entrench themselves or not entrench themselves as leaders in AI down the road? I think is something that I'm going to be really paying attention to. The other thing that I'll say is that the way the market is defined here is going to be a major fight between the DOJ and Google. In order to prove that a monopoly exists, we have to first decide what the monopoly would be over. And that's what we mean by defining the relative market. Google has come out and said that the way the DOJ defines it is too narrow. They want to broaden that out and say, hey, we have competition. If you define the market the way we want it to be, which is we have competition from Amazon, we have competition from Facebook, we have competition for attention. And when you think about it like that, if we're going to define the market so broadly, then of course they're not going to have a market monopoly in that. So that's one of the arguments that I'm really paying attention to, is how this market will be defined in the kind of first few weeks of this trial.
As Sarah said, it is not true that the ad tech products that Google owns and operates and that interconnects this open web market are unimportant. Because what happens is the business that Google runs, the advertising business that it has on search, YouTube, Gmail, you name it, the information that they need, that they use to add value to the audiences that they reach through those channels that they own, it does have to do with the visibility and the data that they collect on the other side of the market, which is everything that they don't own, which is very little at this point, but it matters in that sense. So the value that Google can assign to its own ad inventory is also connected to how it values the rest of the web. So it cannot be possible that this is not important to them. And if it weren't, then why are they fighting it so much? So that's the comment I wanted to make.
I just wanted to do a shameless plug for Check My Ads, with a coalition of others, have put together a microsite, although it's not so micro anymore. I would call it just a full-fledged website, usvgoogleads.com. It has so much information about the trial exhibits, about the witness list. We're also going to be putting up an arguments database on there as well. And then my colleague, Ariel Garcia, will be at court every day covering this. And I'm sure we will have lots of commentary to come over the next 4 weeks. I could talk about this case forever, but one final thing I'll say is that I'm really encouraged that the DOJ and governments and really regulatory bodies all around the world are starting to realize that this business model for the internet is really broken and has done real harm to our media system that Karina has put earlier. And I'm really optimistic that this case and others will at least start righting some of those wrongs, and TBD.
Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks.
That's it for this episode. I hope you'll send your feedback. You can write to me at justin@techpolicy.press. Thanks to my guests. Thanks to my co-founder, Brian Jones. And thank you for listening.
Policy Press.